Father, I thank you that you are here, and I pray that you would fill our time with your presence, your spirit. Fill our hearts with yourself. I pray as we look at your word, you speak your word to our hearts. Holy Spirit, come, give me your words that we may know you better. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about the resurrection. We're in the middle of Matthew 28. And last week we focused on verses 5 and 6, where the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay." And we talked about that there's nothing on earth you need to fear, because Jesus is risen. That was last week. This week we're in the same text, Matthew 28. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. And so let me read. "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Okay, so what I would like to do before we talk about the text is I'm going to have you look at the text and write down some things that you see in the text. So you can take a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, and what I want you to do is, in the text I just read, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, I want you to write down at least 5 observations that you see from this text. So, okay, so tell me, what are some observations that you have?
Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went up to see the tomb on the first day of the week.
Okay, so we've got two Marys, they're going to the tomb, it's the first day of the week. Okay, what else do you see?
Said it was after the Sabbath, which timing, maybe they had a day of rest.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure why exactly, at that time it would be, but it did give them a day in between the crucifixion and dealing with the resurrection.
Yes. So after the Sabbath, which would be the first day of the week.
Exactly.
Okay. But it's after a day of rest. Okay. What else do you see?
There's a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven,
okay,
rolled the stone, and sat on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. What else?
I have the same thing.
Okay. What else? You wrote 5 of them, right?
Yeah.
put is that the women were sent out. I think the angel says, go, tell all my disciples.
Okay.
So, can I do application?
What's that?
Can I do application?
Sure, if you want.
Well, for me, it was helpful for them in their fear and joy to be given a task. So sometimes with me, it's like, things are kind of crazy or something like that. Or, you know, it seems like for the women, they're given a specific thing to do. Okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
And maybe set aside their emotions, kind of have a transition to, you know, being able to know how to process it. I thought that was kind of interesting to me.
Okay. Anything else?
The guards trembled when they saw the angel and they become like a dead man.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the guards are afraid, mm-hmm. which then makes sense of the angel's comment to the women, don't be afraid, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because in the immediate verse before, the guards have fear of the angel. Mm-hmm. Okay? Anything else anyone wants to share?
Jesus greets the women.
Jesus greets them. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Mm.
And Jesus asks the women to tell his disciples to meet him in the Galilee,
yeah.
where they will be able to see him.
Right. Okay, on what's happening here, I mean, we kind of walked through this last week, so I'm not going to walk through this again. But do you have any questions or comments on any of what has happened in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10?
I don't think I do.
Okay. So then last week, we focused on verses 5 and 6. Do not be afraid, for you seek Jesus who was crucified. Mm. He's not here. He's risen. Mm. As he said, come see the place where he lay. That's what we talked about last week. Mm. This week, I want to focus on the women's response in verse 8. So, look at it. What does it say? Verse 8.
They departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy.
Okay. That's their response. That's what they did. They see the facts of the resurrection. They haven't seen Jesus yet, but they've seen the empty tomb. They've been told he's raised from the dead. And that's how they respond. So in verse 5, the angel said to them, don't be afraid. They were told not to fear. Mm-hmm. In verse 8, here they are fearing. What's going on?
Fear and great joy.
I know, fear and great joy. Mm-hmm. So what... They were just told not to fear. Mm-hmm. And now it says that they are fearing.
Maybe this is kind of like a holy fear because they see this angel.
Okay.
So they're not necessarily fearful of man, that situation, but just fearful of how amazing this is.
Okay.
How crazy it is.
Yeah. So a different kind of fear. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have in Scripture... sort of scriptural, how would I put it, evidence of different kinds of fear?
Well, there's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Okay, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's actually a good fear, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The fear of the Lord. Okay. Are there bad fears?
Fear of man.
Okay, the fear of man, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay? So let's talk about this. This is what we're going to focus on today, is this fear that these women have as they rush out. And what I want you to do is I want you to think of something here on earth that has great power. An earthly phenomenon or whatever, with great power. And so give me some examples. What are some things on earth that have really great power?
Volcano.
Okay, a volcano. Okay. When it's about to erupt, or while it's erupting. Okay. Anything else?
Tornado.
Okay.
Wars.
Wars. So an army.
Unrest, like what's going on in Iran and other countries.
Okay. Well, the power. Where's the power?
Maybe, like you were saying earlier, the unsettledness of the world.
But where's the power?
Where's the power?
Yes, who has the power?
I guess the people do. The people, the leaders have the power. And they impart their leadership on...
Sure, the leaders. There are government leaders that have a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they can wield that power, you know, how they want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, you mentioned natural things. Volcanoes, tornadoes. You can think of earthquakes, hurricanes, an elephant... Maybe,
yeah.
A blue whale, whatever. Okay. So if you were to think, if you were to see this powerful thing here on Earth, how would you feel? You're standing right next to it. Or in the midst of it. Or,
afraid.
What's that?
I'd be afraid.
You would be afraid. Okay, power brings fear.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then when you see the power of God, what should happen? Shouldn't you fear him?
Yeah.
You should fear him. You know, you mentioned earlier, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, Psalm 147, verse 11, or the end of Ecclesiastes. This is the end of the matter. And what is it? What does he say in Ecclesiastes is the end of the matter?
To fear God and do all your work.
Fear God and keep his commandments. That's how it ends. That's the summary of Ecclesiastes. That's the whole point. Fear God and keep his commandments, Ecclesiastes said. Jesus said this, do not fear those who are able to kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus talks about the fear of the Lord as well. Or 1 Peter says, fear God, honor the emperor in chapter 2. This concept of fearing God is everywhere in Scripture. You can go Old Testament, New Testament, it's there, the idea of fearing God. And it's good and it's right. And it's actually commanded. And I think these women have their eyes opened to the fear of God here. And why? They're observing some power. Now, there are a lot of people who say they're Christians who don't really fear God.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, I think, deals with a misunderstanding of what Christianity is all about in the first place. And so it's very popular to think that Christianity centers on morality. that Christianity is just love your neighbor, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, be good, be kind, you know, that kind of thinking. That's Christianity. And that's how a lot of people think of it. But that's actually not Christianity. Christianity is Christ. It's not nice moral teachings. It's not even love. Though love of God and love of your neighbor, Jesus says, are the two greatest commandments. But here's the thing, Christianity isn't centered on commandments. It doesn't mean the commandments are bad, they're actually really good commandments. But they are not, the commandments are not what Christianity is about. Commandments are good, but they're not the focus of our faith. Love is good, but the center of our faith is something much bigger than love. Christianity is Christ. We focus on Christ crucified and raised from the dead. We focus on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Now, we may see that he's done that out of love, and we may in turn love him for that. But those are the things that are the focus of our faith. And so a lot of people say, I like the teachings of Jesus. And that's good. You know, I'm glad that you like the teachings of Jesus. I would rather you like the teachings of Jesus than dislike the teachings of Jesus. But let's get one thing straight. Christianity is not primarily about the ethical teachings of Jesus, as good as they are. Nor is Christianity about what someone likes or dislikes, as if you can sort of put yourself in judgment over Christianity. And, yeah, I like this part. As if you are higher than Jesus. When we start thinking that way, that sometimes there's this idea that, you know, especially in America where we get to choose what we want, that I am king and I like this part of Christianity. As if you get to decide what's good or bad. As if you get to decide what's true or false. There's no fear of God in that kind of thinking. If all you see in Christianity are ethical teachings, moral teachings, you've missed Christianity because you've missed Jesus. You just have some nice teachings. Jesus is risen from the dead. That's what this text is about. And God isn't going to ask you, do you like this? He's going to ask you, do you believe this? Christianity is focused much more on facts than on moral teachings. And this is where most of the world gets it backwards. Because they think Christianity is all about moral teachings, and it actually isn't. It's about facts that happened. And the central fact upon which the entire faith rests is right here in Matthew 28. Jesus is risen from the dead. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is in vain, and you are still in your sins. That's how central this event is. If this did not happen, Christianity is just a bunch of nonsense. Jesus is risen from the dead. When Peter preached the church's first sermon at Pentecost, what did he preach? In Acts chapter 2. He preached the resurrection of Christ. And he preached it less than 2 months after it happened, in the very city in which it occurred, to people who could walk to the tomb if they wanted to and confirm or disconfirm. If the body was there, it would disconfirm, right? They could do that if they wanted to. When he preached again in Acts chapter 3 on Solomon's portico, he said to the Jewish leaders, this is at 3:15, Acts 3:15, "You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses." That was not too long after Pentecost. In Acts chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "They were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." In Acts 4, verse 10, it says, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead," Acts 4, verse 33, "and with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." I mean, this is the earliest preaching of the church, guys. This is when they preached, this is what they preached. This is the center of the faith. It's not love your neighbor, do good, be kind. Those are good things. You should do them. But that's not the center of the faith. In fact, without the resurrection, you can't do them anyway. You're wasting your time. And so the focus of the preaching of the earliest church is this: Jesus is risen from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. They were not preaching morality and ethics. They were preaching the resurrection. They were preaching a fact, not an ethical teaching. And they preached the fact of the resurrected Jesus to people who could check out the details if they wanted to. Now, why have I talked so much about this with regard to the text that we're looking at? You know, the women, and they departed with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. It's because of this. Moral teachings do not bring the fear of God, even when those teachings are good and right. No one fears God because he hears that he should love his neighbor. That doesn't engender the fear of God. But you know what brings about the fear of God? It's not the what you ought to do things. It's the facts. It's the what is. It's who God is. It's what God has done. It's what God will do. Those are facts. And those things bring about the fear of God. And so you won't fear God just by hearing that you should be kind. You will fear God when you clearly see that one day he will judge you, maybe because you're not being kind. But it's the actual fact of a future judgment that brings the fear of God, not just a teaching that you should be good. And so you may fear God by seeing what he has done. When you see power, you're afraid. The disciples feared God when Jesus calmed the storm on the lake. And they then said to themselves, "Who is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" There is some fear of God in that. But they just saw something that had happened that says this is power. That brings about the fear of God. The Israelites would have feared God when they saw the fact of the Exodus. After seeing the plagues, after seeing the firstborn of the Egyptians slain, after seeing the Red Sea part and walk right through the middle, and after seeing the Red Sea come back together on Pharaoh's army, when you see that kind of power, you fear. The power of God is revealed through facts, what he does and who he is, not through moral teachings. And so now here are women at the empty tomb, and they are being confronted with a fact. The tomb is empty, and the angel is saying, he is not here. He has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. And they fear. You can almost hear them, who is this who rises from the dead? You know, they've seen him do a lot of things. They've seen him heal the blind and the lame and cast out demons and feed the 5,000 and walk on water and calm the storm and many other things. They've seen power in Jesus, but they hadn't seen this. He's risen from the dead. This is a power beyond anything they ever imagined. The Jewish authorities did everything in their power to kill Jesus, to shame Jesus, and to ensure that his body stayed in the tomb. They did everything in their power to do that. And God laughs at their efforts. And he wipes away everything they did as if it was just dust on the table. He just goes to the dust and poof, the dust scatters. That's what death is to Jesus. It's just like dust on the table. He just wipes it away. That's power. That needs to bring the fear of God. That kind of power. I think of, Mehran and Miriam's son almost died about a year ago. Should have died medically, but he didn't. And they were powerless. But God was not. To God, that's nothing. Jesus wiped away death. He has that power over death. Why? Because he's risen from the dead. The resurrection confirms everything Jesus said about himself and about our eternity. And so the resurrection confirms Jesus is Messiah. The resurrection confirms Jesus is Lord. The resurrection confirms Jesus is one with the Father. The resurrection confirms that Jesus existed before Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am, he said. The resurrection confirms that. The resurrection confirms that Jesus is King, that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. The resurrection confirms that. The resurrection confirms that unless you believe in Jesus, you will die in your sins. The resurrection confirms this. It confirms his words. It confirms what he said. It confirms all of this. So do you know who Jesus is? You'd better fear him. He's got power like you would not believe. And you'd better follow him. Let's pray. Father, we declare to you the power of God. we declare it's yours. It's all yours. We cannot imagine it. We can't touch it. We can't. There's nothing we can do before your power. But you're good to us. Bless you. I want to ask that you grant to us the fear of God, a healthy fear of God, based on who you are and what you do, what you have done and what you will do, and what you can do. Help us see this and fear with a right kind of fear, that we may walk before you. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.